Good afternoon, this is Gary Kavanagh. I am here today with my friend and colleague, Michael Dwyer. Today is the 12th of January. Everyone's worst fears have appeared to be coming true. The front page of effectively every major newspaper in the state says that there will be an election called next week. We can only hope and pray that that isn't the case, because then we'll have to talk about the election for 3 weeks. We will, however, be talking about the possibility of an election right now.
It's too exciting.
We will also be talking about the Iranian situation, mostly the funny, light-hearted side of it that saw an airliner crash.
And all the people being killed.
Yes, truly the lightest parts of the situation. It was actually quite funny overall, the entire situation that led to that. But will we start on that then, and why it's funny?
I am sitting here, frankly, Gary, waiting and thinking, okay, you built it up, you do it. You tell...
So, you have the lead up to the situation. There's people assaulting the American embassy in Iran. The Americans think that this is a militia linked to Soleimani.
Now, remember that when an embassy gets assaulted in Iran, for Americans, there are fairly, you know, decent reasons to get jumpy about.
Sorry, it was an Iraqi embassy.
Yeah, well, there isn't an American embassy in Iran, also for fairly good, obvious reasons. So, yeah, but the whole embassy thing is, they're touchy about it, they have memories of it. They made a very nice film. Was it Ben Affleck?
Or Benghazi.
Made a nice film about it, Argo. He had a really nice chocolate brown jumper at one stage, which I liked a lot.
But that's clearly the important message of that film.
Yeah.
Yes, so they think this is a militia that's been trained by Soleimani. They kill Soleimani. In doing so, not only killing one of the most important military figures in Iran, but one of the most powerful people in the country, with a direct ear to the supreme leader.
Now, it was reported in some quarters after, when he was being buried at his obsequies, they showed all these hundreds and tens of thousands of people who were baiting themselves and shouting and crying and wailing and saying, look, he was a man much beloved by his people. If Colin Powell was to be buried, you wouldn't get that kind of a crowd out. Is that quite an Irish kind of a political analysis based on, God, he got some funeral. He must have been a popular one. We're now getting an alternative view on that?
Where it looks like the Iranian government forced people to attend?
No, don't say it's true. And that, in fact, meant some members of the Iranian public regarded the whole violence and the torture and the plotting and the general nastiness and just the fact that they're living in a country where the economy is fucked and everything, and are being carted off in the middle of the night, and he hasn't maybe just been bad things.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great deal of power, and that means that there are going to be a great deal of people in power in Iran who are glad to see him dead.
Uh-huh.
Also, I'm sure there were people who were just focused on domestic policy and occasionally would go, you know that guy we have, and his only job is to effectively have some sort of imperial shadow war all over the Middle East. Do we really need to be doing that? Like, could we not put that into, like, homeless services or something?
Yeah.
Imperial shadow wars are a necessary part, are they?
Addiction outreach.
I did, like, they did a press conference, the Quds Force, and they put the flags of a load of the groups that are their proxies behind them. And some of those groups, people had been arguing for years whether or not they were proxies. And then they just did a flag display. They're like, oh, they were with the Iranians.
So it was like Al Quds plays fun with flags.
Yeah.
I love the idea you've got a bunch of journalists there with you. You're like a little bingo thing going, I try to go, that's Hezbollah, that's Al Nursi, that's... So I don't know, do the Iranians do Sunni groups?
Hamas is a Sunni group.
Yeah.
So, they do.
They do Hamas. The Qataris do Hamas as well, don't they?
It's difficult to tell exactly what the Qataris fund. Though, sadly enough, the head of Qatar died there the other day.
I was very upset.
I'm sure. Beside yourself.
Very nearly. Anyway, it's okay. The Iranians will give them this. They're not sectarian in their support for developing or entrepreneurial terrorist activity across the Middle East.
So, he dies, and they go, okay, we need to respond in a way that saves face, but does not escalate into America bombing every cultural site in this country.
So, and that led to the famous de-escalating
missile strikes.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've done work with the Iraqis. You don't want any of them to die. So you call the Iraqis and tell them where you're going to be bombing.
Yeah.
You then launch the missile strikes, and a couple of things happen in rapid succession.
Okay.
The first thing is, the missile strikes that you launch on American bases don't kill any Americans, which is what you wanted.
Yeah.
They do, however, kill a number of Iraqis.
Which you didn't want.
The people that you absolutely didn't want. Then, in doing so, you forget to close the civilian airspace over your country.
Mm-hmm.
So a civilian jet enters your airspace. And you, because you are so jumpy, you're then so jumpy that you think the civilian airplane is a missile coming back at you, and you shoot it down.
A cruise missile. Apparently, they got confused. They thought it was
killing 176 people, a great deal of whom are Iranian, the rest of whom are primarily Canadian or Ukrainian.
Yes.
And then, following that, your country is struck by two earthquakes.
Saskatchewan has the largest Ukrainian population outside Ukraine.
Okay.
So, just if anybody was wondering about the Canadian-Ukrainian connection there. So, at least that's what it said on Conor Gas. So then you have two earthquakes.
So your de-escalation strike kills your allies. You accidentally blow up a passenger plane, mostly filled with your own people.
Yep.
And then you get hit by two earthquakes, which, in terms of retaliation, is just not great, really.
Well, the earthquakes, to be fair, tend to be that's a God issue.
No, but I just have a wonderful image of a man in a military control center slowly finding out these things over the course of his evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone coming in and going, oh, sir, there's been two earthquakes, and him just looking at a map going, of course there have. That's, of course.
Well, let's not forget Iran is a theocracy, and they may indeed be inclined to interpret the earthquakes as a little bit of a critique.
Of killing that 176 people?
Maybe just management issues, just generally.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, killing people in aeroplanes like that, that is not good.
I love the fact, and that's now led to a series of protests in Iran calling for the toppling of the Supreme Leader.
And Canada, Justin Trudeau in a beard, looking very butch, making all sorts of demands. It was quite funny, though. It really, if you want funny, I thought this was actually funny, with just the meta of it. One of the comments on an ordinary news program, we'll say like BBC or said that we talked about the fact that the response from the United States was in a lower key and less aggressive than the response from Canada. And I was thinking, when did anybody ever think that that line would be spoken or written? That the Trump administration would be more circumspect and low-key in its response to the Iranians shooting down a civilian aircraft than Justin Trudeau. However, the Ukrainians are being great. They want an apology and they want money. So they're not backing down. The Ukrainians are jolly well demanding. And I think there are people within Iran who are of the opinion that this should be done. But it is now creating tensions within the regime, we're told.
Yeah, people want their blood gold.
Or compensation.
Blood gold.
Parents, family members, you know. Maybe surprise suppliers, workers, you know. Breadwinners, no longer with us.
Gold.
Okay.
That's traditionally what it would have been called.
Yeah, it's still a bit creepy. We'll leave it there.
I'm not the one who shot down a plane.
But I'm taking your word on that, Gary. That's all I can do.
What, do you think I had another life? We're just in the hills of, like, Afghanistan?
You know, what you do in your free time, Gary, I prefer not to speculate. What you may have done in your free time, I'm eager not to speculate about.
I mean, I think I'm far more likely to have sold a weapon system to someone who used it to shoot down a plane than I am to have used one to shoot down a plane.
Oh, well, blood on your hands anyway, Gary, blood on your hands.
Yeah, I'll live. So I think that is just as a... Like, if that is your retaliation, that's hilarious.
I think they could have put on maybe a J.B. Keane... If they wanted hilarity, they could have put on a back-to-back couple of J.B. Keane plays. There are elections in Iran which are contested, but there are none at the moment. However, in a seamless segue, there is talk, Gary, there is talk of an election. Now, we have to have an election eventually because that's what the law says. Whether or not we are going to have one in the absolute immediate future is a speculation. Now, if you had asked me, and I think you did, last week, sometime around Thursday, from what the noise on the jungle drums that I was hearing was very strongly that Leo could have come out on Friday, or if he didn't come out on Friday, he'd come out on the Monday, which would be tomorrow, and say, it's all over, lads, we're going to the country. Now, the last day or two, talking to some of the jungle drummers up in...
Is that racist?
Why would it be racist?
I don't know.
We can work that out later, and we can work on my apologies, and I'll put myself down Amien Street. Anyway.
I mean, not that there are any black Fianna Fáil TDs or councillors. There might be a black councillor.
You know, Meghan Markle is black, so...
Yeah, only if we still operate on the one drop rule, Michael.
Apparently we do. I genuinely didn't know she was black until I was told. And I was told in the context that people talking about that, you know, racism. And was the colour of her skin.
I did note that when people were like, this is a racist act, and I sort of looked at her and went, surely people have to know that someone is black in order to be racist against them.
I mean, I thought most Spanish. Anyway, there is word now, whether it's nasty, cynical word going around generated within the dark side, that Leo is now waiting until next week. He's got that there is a poll in the field, as they say, Gary. There is a poll in the field. And lots of interesting questions, and they're doing some other stuff, and they want to get the results back in before he makes a final decision. Now, there are two dates on the calendar for next week, which are kind of contradictory in a sense, problematic-wise. One is vote of no confidence, which is supposed to be going down from the independent rural TD alliance, and then Leo is supposed to be meeting up with Micheál Martin, is he not? Is that Wednesday? Wednesday, Thursday? And this is the contest, having said that the last meeting, after all the hoo-ha and brouhaha, the last meeting was described as being positive and constructive. So, why is he going to have another meeting with Micheál if he's going to be gone, well gone? And okay, first of all, let's talk about the Harris thing.
Which is a problem.
It is a problem. You had quite an interesting quote. What was? Do you have the? I don't know if you have it to hand. I'm putting you on the spot. The quote from Lowry, which I think, if you're going to be slightly, I suppose, skeptical about any of this stuff, if you parse the language of it, it appears to be saying one thing, but it isn't quite saying that.
So he said he expects the Taoiseach to call an election.
Yes.
That will be underway by February 5th, which is when the no confidence motion would be heard. But he also said before that he has, he's come to the conclusion that the current Dáil will not be given an opportunity to debate a confidence motion in Health Minister Simon Harris, which if you consider with there will be an election could be seen as the reason But I'm interested if that is a statement that should be taken on its own.
And looked at on its own merit, interpreted, shall we say, on its own merits. Because it's going to the country on the back is not the only way out of this. The first thing is, you'd say, if that was the provocative act which led to Leo calling an election, it would seem to me to be the blatantly obvious thing. The problem there is that would mean that Fianna Fáil et al. Will be able to say, this is an election of this on Simon Harris. This election was called in order not to have a vote of confidence in Simon Harris. This is a Simon Harris election. Now, the last thing in the world that Fine Gael or Leo want is to have an election which is in some sense, or in any sense, a commentary on the popularity or the competence of the Minister for Health. Were that to be the case, I think that Fine Gael would be returned to the smaller, dull representation that Fianna Fáil were after the great crash.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking sort of renewal level of support there.
He would be, he'd be renewal or Social Democrat. It would be pretty horrible. So that seems to me to be actually a small reason. The other is that, of course, they could just take him out onto the front steps of the Dáil and shoot him, and on that basis, they would know that it would all go away.
It would. I mean, the other thing here is that someone has to put down the motion of no confidence, and it looks like it's the Rural Independent Group. But the Rural Independent Group contains people like Noel Grealish, Michael Lowry, and many, well, a number of others. All people who have been, were interested about what their constituency gets out of politics.
Well, they were talking to Matty McGrath about this on the radio, and they do act as a group. In cohort, there's nine in the group. They get their 2 hours of time, parliamentary time, and they vote on what they're going to do with it. And whoever gets 5 votes wins. They do this, and they have to at least have the public fiction of being a genuine group, because otherwise they wouldn't get the kind of privileges.
Are there 9 of them? I thought there were only 7.
Well, I think he said 9.
You've Noel Grealish, Michael Collins, you've the 2 Healy Rays, you've Michael Harty, you've Lowry, and you've May.
Matty. Boxer Moran?
No, Boxer Moran is with the is currently in government.
Whoever wins the vote, and that seems to be... God, Michael Healy Ray cannot. He is constitutionally incapable of just saying yes or no to any question. I mean, it's almost like it was funny after a while. Now it's starting to be, Jesus, Michael, you don't have to be the professional Kerry man all the time. When he was asked, was he going to vote for it? He says, well, I'll answer that in a way that'll be, it'll be really clear now from my answer exactly what I am going to do. And I am then going to talk about that. And because there's no way that I could be described really effectively as having confidence in this minister now. So you can take that from that, whatever you want to take. You know, just say, I will be voting. I will be voting in favour of no confidence or whatever. There is no, they've talked about it. They're not set in stone. Things could happen. I mean, is it your belief that if enough gold were to fall from the sky onto North Tip and Kerry and Clare and parts of the North Midlands, that eventually that this motion could go away?
I would suspect so. Well, not go away as such, more be pushed back slightly.
It could be rain checked. There's a word, it's like timetables. Anyway,
I mean, if he was going to do that, then he wouldn't call anything until February 5th, effectively.
Yeah.
However, the general consensus seems to be that, amongst the newspapers anyway.
Yeah, but the newspapers are desperate for it. They get all excited. Journalists get all excited. Newspapers get all excited, at least the prospect. Oh, thank God, it's something to talk about. Now, I think there's plenty to talk about, actually. They really wanted to talk about stuff. and investigate stuff and report and stuff. There is plenty to talk about. But it's the closest thing that most Irish journalists are going to get to reporting on a war. So they do like that kind of period of intense activity and opinion polls and going down to Paddy Power because you've heard something's happening in Longford, which definitely means that something is going to happen somewhere else and you're going to get your money on early. It's a period of intense activity and great excitement, and they like it. And did you not get the feeling reading those front pages that there was an element of them saying not so much the government will call an election, but rather, ah, God, call the election, call the election.
There was sort of a recurring thought of just do it, do it, do it, do it.
Fight, 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 fight. God, dare you.
On the other hand, the numbers are looking bad for Leo. It's going to have to come down eventually. If it does come down in order to avoid no confidence motion in Simon Harris, that is, considering all the legitimate times he could have brought the government down and actually looked like he had a reason. I mean, he could go, he could let the motion of no confidence go ahead. At the current maths, it looks like he will lose because one of the Fianna Fáil TDs has said that they're not going to abstain, they're going to vote against, and I think it was John McGuinness.
I think there were indications, well, from the papers this morning anyway, there were indications that Fianna Fáil en masse may end up voting no confidence.
I think there are a fair amount of people who don't want to go into an immediate election having just voted confidence in Simon Harris.
Nobody wants that. That's just... God, that... You imagine knocking on the door.
I mean, the two recent stories I've heard about the health service in the last couple of days are child has treatment for cancer pushed back because there was no funding for it. There was a 9-year-old child. And a man died after falling off a trolley and his neck was broken. And the hospital went, well, we think he may have actually had the broken neck since he came in and we just didn't notice.
Yeah.
And that's better, isn't it? You sort of go, not really, no. It's pretty bad, actually.
You know, it's getting pretty bad when, up to now, historically, people have not voted on the health service because while they read in the papers and saw on the television that the health service was a crisis, when you actually tested people on their satisfaction with the health service as they encountered it, the satisfaction levels were actually very high. Now, around 10 years ago, you had satisfaction levels of around 90%. That when people actually used the service, they found the service to be much better than adequate. Those numbers are going down. And it does seem to be a real... This is not just anecdotal, but the real sense that people's personal experience, wider experience people are having, if not directly, but themselves, but members of their close circle of family or friends are having negative experiences. And that's starting to bleed into real voter intention. For the first time, you may see people in significant numbers actually voting on health.
I mean, they are blessed by their opposition. And not just Micheál Martin. I was talking to someone the other day, someone like middle class, but had come from the working class, business owner, traditional Fine Gael voter, actually. And they were saying they didn't think they could vote for Fine Gael, but they knew they couldn't vote for Micheál Martin.
So who, yes, they're left with that.
And then they just went like, they said they were talking to their wife and that they were both like, well, who do you work for? And he hates the Shinners.
Yeah.
So that's not a runner.
I wonder, is it possible Labour might get a bit of a flip from people like that?
I don't know. From talking to him, it could be Labour. But I wouldn't actually be surprised if he goes in there and he just kind of goes, you know what? The economy is doing okay. We'll just put them back.
Yeah. And Central Bank has only just revised upwards the growth figures. unemployment down, record levels.
Do you think if Fine Gael get voted back in again, they will get better or they will get worse?
Worse.
I think they'll get worse. Because then they'll look at what they've done so far and went, oh, that's good enough. Whereas the only way they'll get anywhere near government is because the opposition is so bad.
I think
like that being in the graded last on a curve.
The last year and a half, I think this is a government that genuinely started to just crumble like bad plasterwork. I don't have any sense that they know that they're pointed in a direction, that they have any kind of a coherent vision. Well, you know, then again, okay, you don't need that vision thing, you just need to be practical. I don't think they even know how to be practical.
No, I think you do need some sort of central vision. I think the thing to take from this is that Leo is an exceptionally weak leader. I mean, usually leaders imprint some of their personality on the people around them and some of how they handle things.
Uh-huh.
Leo doesn't seem to do that. It's like he's not there.
There is...
Unless the way he does things is incompetently half-assed and without any real sense of why you're doing it. In which case, he's had a momentous effect on his ministers.
Yeah, but, you know, you can be kind, be kind.
That was being kind.
Yeah, I...
Like, it's a use... It's a government without a point, and it has been for nearly 2 years at this rate.
I kind of came to the conclusion, not through any knowledge of the man, but just an Aristotelian point of view. You judge people on what they do rather than what they say. That there, yeah, maybe that he's an oddly weak leader in that he seems to vacillate between doing nothing and then making these kind of oddly spontaneous bad decisions from which he will not back down. And we've said before, I mean, the mark of strength is not the refusal to change, but the capacity to change. Bertie Ahern.
There is a man who could change.
You know, Bertie, if something, it became obvious to Bertie, and it usually became obvious to Bertie quicker than it became obvious to many other people, that something was going to be or was either politically problematic or simply was not working. Even if Bertie had been the great champion of it, flip-flop, not a problem. And you're talking comedy, it was a wonderful comedy in the sight of journalists desperately saying, but Taoiseach, you were absolutely opposed to this, and you said this could be nonsense, and your idea was perfect, and everything was going to be wonderful, and now it's a disaster, and you're doing what the opposition said you should do. And Bertie would look into the camera and basically say, ah, lads, that was then, this is now. Come on, let's move on. Let's get over it. Let's go forward into the bright new sunlight of the positive vision, uplands, blah, cliche. You know, it just blank them. That was then, this is now. It was wonderful stuff. But Bertie, he never feared changing his mind. Leo, I mean, obviously, the Children's Hospital is the example, but I've never seen an attachment to an idea or to a proposal like they have with that. But it's so many things. He either acts... It's like this sudden decision, again, which is maybe typical of a not so strong leader.
Yeah, and then the situations change, and he changes. But the problem is, he changes every time the situation changes.
And he, do you know, now, like, this may be just an unfortunate thing, but he does give off that sense when he's smiling and being nice. Kind of, he does. At times, rather than communicate a sense of being a nice guy, of enormously self-satisfied, smug arsehole.
I did like, did you see the recent press conference where he refused to comment on the fact that the Come Out Your Black and Tans is number one in the iTunes chart, which, by the way, is not terribly impressive. That's based on single sales on iTunes, which means you could probably spend about a tenner and get to the top. But still good for the Wolf Tones. Yeah. Well, he refuses to comment on it. And then he's asked for his opinion about the current going-ons in the royal family and gives a detailed answer. I don't know, I just... can you imagine, Charlie Haughey being asked that question?
Can you imagine
Charlie... Let alone answer it.
Can you imagine the look? That, I can just see the man now with the hooded... These hooded hawk eyelids over those two lumps of blue ice. The look of contempt that he would give a journalist that would ask him about the business plans of two members of the royal family. Hey, God, help us and save us. You wouldn't ask Bruton because you'd be terrified. You'd get some kind of shriek. We have commented before that when it comes to certain kinds of things, he cannot help himself. He has to have a comment, has to say something. Can't just shut the fuck up. And of course, this was perfect for him because they are very much his people.
Mm.
They are very woke. They are very progressive. They're only having the two kids because that's all that would be fair to have in this the world as it is.
Oh, the RIC thing isn't over either. Did you see the Daily Mail front page?
No.
The headline is Glasnevin Honour for Black and Tans. Names to go on memorial wall with 1916 heroes.
No. No. Oh, there'll be blood on the streets before it's over. There will be blood. Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's not Fine Gael's fault. It's the all-party committee is apparently going to recommend that those names be put up there. But just as a headline you don't want as you go into the election.
I don't want to diss the Daily Mail. I'm sure that the journalists responsible for writing the story were meticulous. And there may be that the headline writer got a little bit excited. And it may not be the case that they're going to be commemorating any Black and Tans. I don't know. But as a headline, oh God, I mean, you couldn't sit down and write a better one, could you? Beside the 1916 leaders, Padraig Pearse, Thomas Cant, McDiarmid, etc.
And for all you go, well, I mean, it's not Fine Gael's fault.
No.
It's in the general perception, you're the people who just tried to commemorate the Black and Tans, so they're going to look at this and be like, what are they doing now?
I just wonder, in Glasnevin, where Parnell is buried, where this sort of this iconic place for Irish nationalism, Irish republicanism, and that's brilliant.
Oh. Yeah, it was actually when I was talking to that chap. It was interesting what he said about Micheál Martin because he'd been saying he wouldn't like him, and I was like, yeah, because it's Micheál Martin, obviously.
Mm.
And then his reason for why he didn't like him was that it's like he's not even there. And I'm like, yeah, that's part of Martin's strategy: just do nothing and let Leo implode, which.
I mean, that may be Martin's strategy. I would say that I don't know the man, that his historic Fine Gaelness may be also blinding him to whatever qualities Martin has. I'll tell you, when eventually this campaign gets going, we will see, but I do confidently expect that we will get some fun out of Micheál Martin. Because when he gets into a head-to-head situation on a debate, he is a formidable debater.
He is, and I think that's actually one of the reasons I've taken this current kind of strategy so poorly, in that Martin can actually do things when he puts his mind to them.
Yeah.
Unless it involves a committee report, in which case it'll never end. But he can, and he is good. He's good with facts, and he's good with numbers, and he's good with statistics, and he's good against someone. And that's not what we've seen from Martin. We've just seen this sort of, I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants. And it reminds me of a friend of mine And years ago, he was with a girlfriend who would beat him. She once beat him with an antique candlestick. It was quite funny. Mostly because it made me think of Cluedo.
Okay.
Yeah, it was her in the hallway with the candlestick. And when I asked him once when he was going to leave her, and he said, well, you know, I eventually will go to England for work, and then naturally the relationship will die. So in a mere 2 to 3 working years, this will be over. And that sort of reminds me of Micheál Martin's strategy.
Yeah, if someone's beaten me with a candlestick, I would be concerned that in the natural course of things, I would die.
Well, yeah, I think she only beat him with a candlestick once, and mostly it was just emotional abuse.
That's still not nice. Now, yes, but I take your point.
But there is a little bit of, well, in 2 to 3 years, he'll simply implode.
Yeah.
And what he does to the country in the meantime is, sure.
The other thing is, if I think you were to take a poll of any group of people who have been awake in the last 3-4 years, they would all agree that the department, which more than any other, is an absolute disaster, is health.
A couple of departments are bad, yeah.
But Martin, well, you take a combination of both minister and department. Harris plus health department is, I think, wins the gold medal. Martin is very strong on that subject, and we know he spent quite some time as a minister, politically successful. I mean, whether or not he successful in the sense of the dealing with the actual system is another question.
He
famously brought in the smoking ban, but he's very strong on that as a topic. He understands it. And I've kind of been surprised that he hasn't taken an opportunity to eviscerate them. However, maybe powder dry keeping he was, and we will see that in the campaign. Health is going to be an issue in the campaign, and I do look forward to Micheál, at least in one debate, really giving it to Leo. Because, geez, we haven't had some really good hand-to-hand politics, you know, for a long time. Knives out.
Well, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have a couple of people who are very good at that style of politics, and have had to spend years just slowly getting more and more frustrated that there's no call for it because of confidence in supply.
But also,
I think with the immediate reaction of the election will be people just screaming at each other. Because you've 3 years of frustration.
Yeah, and pissed offness. And lack of respect felt on both sides.
And now you can finally say it.
2007 was the last competitive election in the country. Because obviously Fianna Fáil were going to lose in the election after the Great Calamity.
Mm.
And the depth of and the nature of their loss was so great that the Fine Gael were always going to win the second election. There just was too much of a gap. However, we're now almost near parity in numbers in the Dáil and running neck and neck in the polls. This is a proper competitive election. And I think that's going to bring out, or I hope anyway, lots of excitement and lots of daring do and swordsmanship. However, Leo may disappoint us all and decide to wait for Easter for a nice, gentle spring election rather than a miserable February, January election.
I mean,
and
we
will discover
nice.
That in the week ahead of us. So I think maybe we should draw a veil over this and rather than risk talking for 2 hours about something that in the end doesn't actually happen. So I will wish our dear listener a fine Sunday and a good week, and we will be back on the morrow.
All the best.